Hello, everyone. We're going to start here. So watch out. Don't have the microphone too close.
Just have a loud voice.
Could we have everyone take their seats and settle down, please? Hello, my name is Greg, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Greg.
Welcome to Passion for Service Learning Day. This is the workshop on public information, part of the PR umbrella. And just a moment.
Hey.
Thanks.
Thank you, Shashane. Could someone please read the vision for NA service? Thank you.
Noel Addict. A vision for NA service. All of the efforts of Narcotics Anonymous are inspired by the primary purpose of our groups. Upon this common ground, we stand committed. Our vision is that one day, every addict in the world has the chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture and find the opportunity for a new way of life. Every member, inspired by the gift of recovery, experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. NA service bodies worldwide work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to support the groups in carrying messages of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. Honesty, trust, and goodwill are the foundation of our service efforts, all of which rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power.
Thank you, Noel. Okay, today's speakers are Shashane, our regional PR chair, and Dave C., who is a former PI chair in the SOFA area. And each speaker will speak for about 15 minutes, thank you. And there'll be an opportunity for questions or shared experience from the audience after that. The workshop is being recorded, and you could find it later on the Vancouver area website. Our first speaker will be Shashane.
Hi, friends. My name is Shashane, and I'm an addict. So this is my first workshop, and I'm very nervous, and I just had to get that out of the way. So really, my focus today is going to be like on working with professionals, which is part of PR. I don't have any education in public relations or dealing with professionals or anything like that, so anybody can do it, right? So I just wanted to go a little bit back into my history of like service. So I guess I started with PR when about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I was the vice chair at Tri-Cities. I was the chair at Tri-Cities after that, and then I kind of moved on to Upper Fraser Valley and did PR work there and became regional PR chair a couple of years, or almost 2 years ago. So a lot of that looks like public relations with professionals, looks like doing conferences or conventions. So there was many different conferences that happen within the Vancouver area yearly that we attend. We set up our PR booth, and we take questions. We're just kind of there for like the visible, right? It's also a lot of like returning emails and that kind of thing. I have notes so that I don't forget anything. So the main thing, like there's four main goals when dealing with public and professionals, and one of them is to clarify what services NA can and cannot provide to the community. We make NA members more aware of their role in NA's public image. We aim for the public to recognize NA as a positive and reliable organization, and we develop valuable relationships with professionals and general public. So our message is that any addict can stop using drugs and lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. So kind of back to developing the relationships, like when presenting ourselves with public, it's really important that you carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. There's never any personal information that goes out. If you're asked personal information, a lot of the time I just recite traditions or recite things out of the book. So our relations with the public enable us to share a message broadly so that those who might benefit from our program of recovery can find us. The hopes of reaching professionals, we deal with doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, psychologists, all that kind of stuff. The hope of reaching them is that they feel confident in our ability to help whoever their clients or patients are. So if we're putting like on a good message of Narcotics Anonymous, I guess, then we look like a valuable asset to them to send their clients to us, right? Getting nervous again. Our tradition 5 states that our primary purpose is to carry the message to the still suffering addict. This is always our purpose. Even while dealing with professionals, the hope is that our message is shared with is carried through them to a suffering addict. Just a like real life example. Yearly in December, November, we do a healing and trauma conference that's held in Richmond. So again, there's like doctors, counselors, psychiatrists, a lot of like psychiatric nursing and stuff. And the professionals come to our booth, and we have about 2 to 5 minutes to share our message of Narcotics Anonymous and how it's helped millions of people get clean and stay clean, right? And it's just often they are given our contact information if they need further discussion. They usually come and see us in between their breaks, so kind of like here. There's, what, a 15-minute break between each workshop, and so they have workshops, and there's a 15-minute break for them, and that's when we kind of get floods of people coming in. We have necessary... Yay, Jackson! we have necessary, like... literature out that is explanatory to what Narcotics Anonymous is. We have our basic text, just information that the professionals would want to know. We share our message openly with the public at large, with prospective members and professionals. Maintaining an open, attractive attitude in these efforts helps us to create improved relationships with those outside the fellowship. Our message does not include personal information on our stories, nor does it include opinions. We are simply there to speak about Narcotics Anonymous and how it works. We get a lot of questions about our personal stories when we're up. I received an email from a journalist who wanted to get in contact with a heroin addict because he wanted to do a story on that. And, you know, we have to tell them that that's, like, not what we do, right? We don't differentiate drugs. Addiction is addiction. We would never specifically put somebody out there as they use crystal meth or heroin or whatever. So we were kind of asked to incorporate some traditions and concepts. I couldn't find a whole lot on the concepts. I think the concepts are more internal, and they work with like how we do service at our service body, right? But tradition 11, our public relations policy, is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. So even when we're doing the booths, right, we never approach people with our information. We always wait for them to come to us. If they show interest and they come and say hi, or if they come and pick up a pamphlet or anything, then certainly that kind of opens the doors for us to discuss what our program is about. But we don't like stand at the door and hand out pamphlets or anything like that. And I think the key thing here too is, I know as a person in recovery, I'm not ashamed of being a recovering addict. I share that story with many people. On my own, it's never a reflection. The only thing that I ever say is that Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life, right? I came here hopeless and wanting to die on a daily basis, and today, because of the steps, I don't want to do that. We choose who we talk to about being an addict. In dealing with professionals, that's never a choice, right? It takes away the choice. It is essential that we adhere to that tradition. Our personal programs are autonomous. However, Narcotics Anonymous has an unwavering message on what autonomy means when dealing with public relations. We are sharing about the program, the literature, and the traditions and the principles. Nothing about us. And the only concept that I wanted to kind of touch on, and it's probably, like, I probably just picked it out and was able to fit it into what I wanted to say. Concept 4, effective leadership is highly valued in NA. Leadership qualities should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. So there's a key with dealing with professionals. Only certain people can do it, right? Like, we don't like to pick and choose who we want to do it, but the reality is that some people aren't great at sharing with professionals. Some people are great at doing H&I, but it really takes a certain set of, like, I don't know, you know, you have to be able to present yourself. I was listening to a message in a meeting the other day, and it was a great message, but there was, like, a lot of cursing. And I curse. I curse a lot. It's hard for me not to. But that's not something we can do when we're dealing in a professional situation, right? Dressing, you have to dress professional. There's not a lot of, like, jewelry. It's kind of the same as what they talked about in H&I. Not a lot of jewelry. We never wear, like, name brand. I mean, you wear name brand clothes, but it can't be, like, visible. Yes, great example. Dave would not be allowed to come to our professional conference dressed like that. and not wearing Narcotics Anonymous clothing, like Craig. Wow, you guys are bad. Because as much as we're the face of Narcotics Anonymous, that would kind of show that, like, we are. Like, that is, like, almost like that's our job, right? It's like wearing a uniform, and that's not what we're doing. NA is not my job, although I think they should pay me very well for it. It's the one thing I know I'm really good at, right? I have a passion for it, and I wish I could get paid to do it. So, yeah, I don't know what else to share. That's probably not 15 minutes. My worry was, but I know Dave likes to talk a lot. Pardon? Oh. Okay, so maybe I'll take up more of your time by reading off a paper. I was just given this. Our sixth tradition states an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from the primary purpose. This tradition is the basis for a policy of non-affiliation and is important to the continuation of growth of Narcotics Anonymous. It's Narcotics Anonymous, basic text, page 66. While it is important to reach as many people as possible with our message of recovery, it is imperative that we do not risk our independence by coming reliant on any outside source. If NA becomes strongly identified with any related facility or outside enterprise, our primary purpose and independence will become confused with the other properties. I think this is actually kind of what Dave is going to touch on, so I don't want to share too much about it. Yeah. Well, he's got information. But I think that's, like, more like when we have meetings at churches or at the local Alano Club or whatever, like, we're not endorsed by that. We don't, you know, it's generally made clear that we're just there holding our group. That's why we pay rent and that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Yeah. I think that's about it. I'm really grateful to be here tonight, or today. It's not night yet. I was really grateful to be asked to share on this topic. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Can you tell? Thank you all for coming and allowing me to be of service.
Thanks, Shashane. Okay, at this point, it says if we could pass the basket for the seventh tradition. And while that's going around, I'll introduce our second speaker, and that is Dave C. I'll pass it over to Dave. And just so everybody aware is that Dave likes to stand when he talks, so it's not the usual way we do PI, but that's the way Dave does. There you go.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Dave, and I'm a recovering addict. My comfort zone is standing and presenting, but I'll sit out of my comfort zone today, and I'll just sit here. One of the reasons why I like to stand when I do public information is because one of the things that I was taught when I've been doing public information for probably 13 to 14 years of my recovery, and it was taught to me quite early that public information isn't only information about Narcotics Anonymous, but PI can stand for our public image as well. And, you know, in the past, Narcotics Anonymous's public image has been quite tarnished. So the Public Information Committee, or now the Public Relations Committee, as they call it, for decades we've had an uphill battle to clean up our image of Narcotics Anonymous. So one of the things that I decided to do when I first started doing PI was that I would stand and demonstrate that we're not afraid, that we don't hide, that we can stand and be confident on our program and what our program offers. Okay, but today I will sit. So it says there is so many facets of public information. I tried finding the exact quote. I read it somewhere. I believe it was in the old PI handbook, but it says in there, or wherever it was that I read it, it says that public information in Narcotics Anonymous is the largest and hardest job to do in NA. That the Public Information Committee, the tasks that are assigned to it are more than any other committee, because public information basically is, for a lack of a better word, is like the dumping ground for everything that all the other subcommittees don't cover, right? Our public image, what happens when we have a problem with a facility. You know, in my past, I've had to go to a hospital on numerous times to try to troubleshoot what the meeting at that hospital did. You know, other things, you know, the way our behavior in the public and what we do when it's discolored, public information goes out and tries to mop that up or clean that up, right? It says right here in one of the pamphlets that I don't know if a lot of people have ever read, it's called PI and the NA Member. And one of the things it says right here, it says, what is an NA member's responsibility? And first and foremost, we need to accept responsibility for our behavior in public when we identify ourselves as NA members, right? At the grassroots level of Narcotics Anonymous, each and every one of us, every day when we're at a meeting, when we're at a dance, when we're at a convention, when we're walking down the street wearing an NA t-shirt, or in any way that we identify ourselves as members of Narcotics Anonymous, we bear responsibility for that image that we portray. I was at a dance recently, and Yeah, there was a lady, she was trying to get by. She was in a walker, one of those little wheelie carts. And outside that dance, outside the NA dance, the members were crowding the sidewalk, and this lady was getting quite irritated over the fact that she couldn't get by because the NA smokers and everything were all out there, and it's like, yeah, what do you want, right? And you know what, that really disheartens me when I see that kind of stuff. I don't know, I've been around a little while. There's quite a few members in this room that have been around a while. Some of the older people will remember when there was a bulletin that was issued out of the United States. It was a survey of professionals, and they said, would you recommend your clients to go to Narcotics Anonymous? And the majority of them said no, because it's a bunch of predators. And I'm like, holy smokes, when I read that, it was like, what? But that's what the public's image of us was. So at the very grassroots, if nobody wants to come to the public information subcommittee, you don't want to go talk to professionals, you know, you don't want to do anything else, you can do public information by how you act at your meetings, your behavior, and everything else, right? Public information is probably the least attended subcommittee, because a lot of people don't understand what it is, right? If I was to ask each and every one of you, what is your idea? What does PI do? Somebody quickly yell out, what does PI do? Here's a question. What does PI do? What's your first thought that comes to mind? Who said speaks in schools? That is the first thing that I normally get. Speaks in schools. But you know what, realistically, speaking to students in schools is actually quite far down the pecking order of where we should be. If we're going into schools, we should be speaking with the counseling suite. Because public information's job is to go out there and inform the people that the prospective new members talk to, right? A few of the places, Shashane talked on this, going to the College of Physicians and Surgeons and saying, you know, if you ever have like a staff meeting or a large group of thousands of doctors, we would really love to come in and do a presentation and to inform you exactly what Narcotics Anonymous is. You know, one of the things that we have to practice more than anything else in Narcotics Anonymous is humility. Because, and I've seen it, I have trained, you know, lots of people to go and speak about Narcotics Anonymous. And when we get nervous, I bet you more than 90% of these people defaulted back to telling their story. And a bunch of new doctors, they don't give a hoot about what Narcotics Anonymous did for you. They want to know, if I'm going to send somebody to Narcotics Anonymous, I want to know what they're going to expect. I want to be able to tell them, what are your meetings like? So when we do this kind of work, the traditions, I just counted, I think I listed 9 out of the 12 traditions that pertain directly to anybody that would do public information work. The first one being, if I'm going to inform somebody about Narcotics Anonymous, I'm going to say to them, well, you know, the first thing that we do is we rely on unity, that our common welfare is going to come first, that anybody can come, and if they're suffering or if they're feeling bad, somebody at the meeting will reach out and speak with them, right? You know, the second one that really comes to mind for me is tradition 3. Like, if I'm going to inform somebody what Narcotics Anonymous is about, well, you know what, like, hey, is there a fee? You know, like, do you have to go to detox? Quick little story. I was doing a presentation for a PAC committee, and this lady came up and said, so Narcotics Anonymous is like the stage 4 of recovery. And I'm like, can you explain to me what the first 3 are? Well, yeah, first of all, you know, you go to the detox, and then you go to the treatment center, and then you go to the recovery house, and then you go to the NA. And I went, I never heard that before. I said, you know what, the only requirement for membership in NA is a desire to stop using. I said, people for decades have been coming directly to Narcotics Anonymous meetings and finding recovery. I said, you know, all those other things that you mentioned, I don't have an opinion on, and neither does Narcotics Anonymous. So there I quote Tradition 10, right, that we have no opinion on outside issues, but we will get asked. We were pre-framed or pre-warned that there was going to be some questions. I'll answer one of them right now. A lot of questions that we would get asked would be pertaining to methadone and other drug replacement therapies. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on that. Bulletin 29 that was produced back, I believe it was in 1996, World Services produced a bulletin that pertains to that subject and people on drug replacement therapies doing service. We do have a very pointed and a very diligent view on that, is that Narcotics Anonymous is abstinence from all drugs. And therefore, for a person to serve or be a leader in Narcotics Anonymous, we should adhere to that. But by the same token, if we go back to Tradition 3, we turn around and we encourage those people to get clean from all drugs, and then you can do service in Narcotics Anonymous. But that's a question that would be asked, right? Tradition 5, like, what do we do at our meetings? We carry the message. And what is our message? That an addict, any addict, doesn't matter who you send, any addict can lose a desire to use, stop using, and find a new way to live, right? Be an acceptable, responsible, and productive member of society. Tradition 7, like how do we fund our meetings? You know, somebody recently asked me, Dave, I knew you'd know the answer to this. Do we have a government nonprofit charitable number? And I went, no, because, you know, we should never draw affiliation. We don't want to be affiliated with any outside enterprises. Less problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose, right? Tradition 10, as Shashane touched on, or was it 11? No. But Tradition 10, you know it. How many of you out there believe that Narcotics Anonymous is probably one of the most effective drug treatment, recovery programs on the planet? That's really good. We don't have to turn around and go around and ask for help from other people, now do we? You know, we don't need to have an opinion on what other people are doing because we know that it works. And that is the thing, the message that we try to carry to professionals, right? Again, Tradition 11, just as I spoke about our public image, attraction rather than promotion. And I don't know if it's true. I heard a rumor that World Services was thinking about adding the internet to the end of Tradition 11. Now, I don't know, but, you know, we should always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. You know, but, you know, in this day and age, but you know what, I don't have an opinion on that. Okay. Tradition 12. PI work is about the program and not the... Did I say something funny? Tradition 12 is very important, too, because anonymity, being the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, tells us that I am not bigger than the program. I am not bigger than the information that I am presenting. So I practice humility, and I simply present the information that Narcotics Anonymous gives me to the professionals or whoever it is that wants to know, right? Some of the spiritual principles that we practice, humility, anonymity, restraint. We really have to practice restraint when we're doing public information work, especially when we're talking in front of professionals, because of the fact that it is easy to all of a sudden jump into our own little world and make it all about me, right? Okay, honesty and open-mindedness. Open-mindedness comes into play when we're doing public demonstrations, when we're doing PI work, because we need to be open-minded to the fact that, yeah, maybe not everybody in the audience is going to agree with what we're saying, right? So we need to learn how to be agreeable and say, you know what? Yeah, that's your opinion, you know, and I respect that. But I'm simply conveying the information about Narcotics Anonymous, right? The Public Information Subcommittee, I know a lot of people, in the beginning, and it does say in some of the literature somewhere, it does say, it might even say right here in the Public Relations Handbook, phone line. Public information works very, very, very closely with the phone line committee, because if we are going to be doing, say, a mass mail out, or we are going to be doing a large booth event, or we are going to be, I don't know, maybe going to nursing school and talking to nurses, we need to contact the phone line and let them know so that they're prepared that for a possible influx of calls from people other than addicts, right? So phone line is actually part of the public information umbrella. You know, here in the Lower Mainland, we do have the multi-area phone line committee, but it still, I believe, falls under the guise of public relations. Public information needs to work very closely with H&I as well. If a facility calls and wants to know if they can have a presentation or a panel coming in, public information will normally go to that facility and ask, what is it exactly that you're looking for? And explain what Narcotics Anonymous is and what we offer. Because it may be they want a meeting, or maybe they need an H&I, or maybe they just need somebody to come in and talk to the staff. So public information does all that kind of stuff as well. Okay, like I already mentioned, troubleshooting NA problems. When I first started in public information, I wasn't all that well liked. I had all kinds of nicknames. Oh, there's Dave, the NA Nazi, you know, the NA cop. And you know what, public information really is, you know, that we do get those nicknames, you know, like the NA Police Department. But you know what, it's because we are the ones that are out there and we are saying something, right? I had absolute zero desire to do public information. When we formed the South of Fraser area, we had our elections, and I sat there and I was nominated position after position after position, and I kept going, nope, God ain't laying it on my heart, nope, not feeling it there, nope, don't want to do that. And then PI came along, and I went, really, God, really? And so they said, Dave, we're going to nominate you for that, and I accepted. And I didn't know that doing this service would make me would help me so much in my recovery. You know, I was a really shy person. I really didn't want to say a lot when I first came here, insecure and everything else. And public information brought me out of that. Being able to have a subject that I can go speak on and know the information and go out. But here's the problem that you're going to find, and a lot of people find in Narcotics Anonymous, or in PI. When you go to H&I, Don, you get to see the effects right there, don't you? You get to see the look on the people's faces right there in front of you. In public information, you don't know. You have no idea. I went to a school, I spoke, this was quite a few years ago, and I was going through that doubt. You know, God, am I really doing, am I having any effect? And 2 weeks later at my home group, a young girl came up to me and she said, I finally found you. And I kind of looked at her and I went, I don't even know you. You know, really, you know, like that quick little thought ran through my head, like, how old are you? About 20, you know, did I know your mom at some point? Or but she said, 2 weeks ago, I had made arrangements to buy so much dope I wanted to OD. And you came to my school with some other people and you told me about Narcotics Anonymous and you gave me a choice. And she said, I've been looking for you for 2 weeks in meetings because I'm 2 weeks clean and I just wanted to say thank you. And those are the times that, you know, you get that shot of gratitude, right? But they don't come very often in public information work. When we do PI, the thing that we do is we plant the seed and we let a loving higher power take over. Right? You know, for anybody that wants to do, there is so much that PI involves when it comes to orientation and everything else. I believe that public information, it should be at the foremost, front and foremost in every area's agenda for what we should be working on, right? So, you know, I don't know if I've covered everything that I should. You know, I'm going to close with that. But you know what? In the time that I've been here, you know, I thank God for the opportunity that I've had to grow in my recovery through doing public information. So thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Shashane. My name is Greg, and I'm an addict. And I remember when Dave first came on the scene, I remember taking him on his first PI panel way back. And so my experience in public information goes back quite a number of years when I was part of Vancouver area. I learned about speaking to members of the public through, back in the day there was, the chairperson was Monica, the vice person was Thomas, the secretary was Lee. Now these people all went on to become the Vancouver area PI chairs and the regional PI chairs. And I was quite blessed to, learn from those people on how to speak to, you know, members of the public. And again, it was primarily in schools because those were where the requests were coming from for us to go and speak. And that's, so basically NA did what it could do based on the requests it was getting. Now, I asked Thomas a number of years ago, what do you do if you don't have many people on your committee? He says, if you're just one person, he says, the best thing you can do is distribute meeting lists to places where addicts may go seeking help from their, you know, their disease of addiction. And he said, whatever you do, he said, you have to keep a really good record of that. So you have to, you know, write down the places where you're taking the meeting list, how many you dropped off there, when you dropped them off, if you can get a name and a phone number and a contact person there, you know, and just try and keep a relationship happening with that public organization that's trying to help, you know, addicts find recovery. So that was like, that's like, that comes right down to PI basics. So if you don't have people to do presentations, at least let the public know we exist. You know, and that's really key. And so I've got a bunch of other things in my little folder here. I printed off my computer over the years, and I was going to give them to one of the area chairs from PI that's here today. And what it goes back to is it was something that was developed a long time ago by the Vancouver Area PI Committee. And it's a short guide for speaking to non-addicts. So it goes and talks about a lot of the points that were talked today. It talks about the do's and don'ts and stuff like that. I didn't make copies to hand out here because these days it's like a lot of the PI committees want to go with the PR handbook. It's a big handbook. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of sections in this book. So please, if you get a handbook like this, don't get lost in there. It's like look for the specific section that you want to use and just try and focus on that one at a time. Especially if you're just starting out with the PI committee. So at this point, we're going to open up the floor to questions.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm an addict. Okay, I have two questions, please. Okay, I'll do one at a time. The first one is, as I think from literature that I've seen, stuff that medical journals love to publish about addicts, the stigmas attached to the spiritual aspect of our program, and a lot of mistruths that are spoken about that we're a Christian or whatever like that. And especially just being evidence-based logical doctors, I think most likely we're going to get that question. I'm sure you guys have had that question from professionals saying, well, what's with the God part of the program? And what's the point of that? How is that? Like, I know how I would explain it in a meeting, but what's your response to that?
That's a really good question. Thank you. I'll answer that question the way that I would answer it if I was asked at a presentation, right? I would simply say that the diversity of the members of our fellowship is actually our strength. And not to limit anybody from coming to Narcotics Anonymous, because the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, the God of our understanding was put in there so that people of all faith or religion or spiritual background are welcome in our meetings. So that's where the God thing comes in. We're not a religious program, but we are a spiritual program. Thank you very much for your question.
Okay, so you're talking about that we never give a personal part of our story when we're speaking to professionals. But I was wondering if there's a slightly different thing we do when we speak at schools. Do we give a little bit of our, maybe not detail oriented, but a little bit of our story so that we can hopefully touch someone who's struggling? Because that seems to me more like a little bit more like it, maybe a little bit more like an H&I thing.
So according to the documentation that I have from years ago from Vancouver area, it's very, very simple. It's like basically how we started, especially the feelings, the broadest NA, how we found NA. Now, each person on the panel will have a little different part of their story, because it's important for the public to know there's more than one way that all of us found NA. For me, I found it through a treatment center, right? That's where I found NA. For other people, they may have gone to detox, heard an H&I panel. Other people may have just come straight to an NA meeting. They may have called the helpline. So it's important that people know that we find NA in different ways, and we explain what our first meeting in early recovery was like, talk about learning about spiritual principles and stuff like that. And so, there's a straightforward guide here. It's a short guide for speaking to non-addicts. And basically, we try and let them know that we're not there to tell them that anyone that they're addicts. So we say it straight up when we walk in, you know, just in case, maybe somewhere down the road, maybe 10 or 15 years from now, maybe a friend or family member, because we don't want to say that they're going to have a problem, right? Maybe someone that you know will have a problem. And you can tell them that 10 or 15 years ago, you'd heard a message of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. Maybe it could help them. So we try and plant the seed in a sort of a general way. And that's part of how we do it, is explaining how we found NA, and it may be different for each member of the panel. So it's quite important. We do explain some of that, especially dealing with a school situation and that.
That's okay, we'll just reiterate your question.
My question is, I'm a panel leader, and if by some reason my whole panel fails, I'm not allowed to go into that facility by myself and talk, and then you had mentioned something about, you have to have two people to do a panel, and you had mentioned something, if you're alone, what would you do? So is PI allowed to work alone? Like you said, you would hand out meeting lists, right? Maybe I heard that wrong.
Oh, I'll rephrase what my... So no, I'm talking about if you're a committee of one, right? Say you have a PI committee and you've just been elected the chairperson of that committee, and you don't have any members on your committee. So you wouldn't be going out to do a panel meeting. You would just be going out and letting the public know by distributing meeting lists. That's what I was saying earlier. It's okay to do that, but for doing panel presentations, you would not want to do it alone. If you didn't have anyone in your area, you would seek out someone maybe from a neighboring area that has experience to go with you. That would be the recommendation.
You wouldn't go to a school by yourself?
Never.
You'd never go by
Narcotics Anonymous is not one person speaking. That person would then therefore have the face of NA. That's why we always go as a panel, always two or more. The best panels I've been on have had about three or four or even five. And I remember orienting Don over there for PI a number of years ago. We went out to school in Aldergrove, and there was about five or six of us there. And the last panel, I sat at the back and watched them do the panel. That was kind of fun. Any other questions? Anyone?
Please ask a question so I can answer it.
Hello, I'm an addict named Pippa. Just as an alternative to an answer to what Laura's question was earlier in talking to professionals regarding the spiritual aspect of our program or the God thing, would it be appropriate to quote The Living Clean, where it talks about how agnostics and atheists have been able to use Narcotics Anonymous as a program to get clean? So we can use the literature as written and put it in a more, let's say, medical aspect, right?
I definitely would have added that on, that it's a God of our understanding. It doesn't matter what it is. I've used the example of universe, Mother Nature, the sun. I know somebody who actually did use a doorknob to begin with because it was what opened the door to a new way of life, right? So yeah, definitely agnostics, atheists, whatever you need to believe in.
Okay, what was your question? Okay, to do public information service, that is something that is determined at the committee level. So certain committees will have different clean time requirements for different positions. If one is just going out and speaking on a PI panel, and in my experience, I believe it was 6 months. Some committees would have different. It all depends on what the consensus is. I'll let Shashane.
Yeah. First one. I just wanted to add that, I believe there's no set in stone clean time to do service through PR or PI. 6 months is kind of recommended, but the key is having a strong sense of what the traditions are. When doing any sort of PI or PR work, our members need to know what the 12 traditions mean and stand for. So,
and a good orientation before going in. And usually what will happen is before you actually speak on a PI panel, you'll go in and sit and listen, you know, for at least one panel presentation, so you can see how the presentation goes, and then it's a little more comfortable before you actually participate in being a panel member. And usually, if you're a new panel member, the panel chair won't call on you first. They'll let somebody else be the first speaker, so it'll be a little easier for you to get in there.
Yeah, no, anybody can pretty much come. Yeah, the committees are autonomous when it comes to stuff like that. Yeah, you know, you don't need any kind of training to go drop off meeting lists at detox centers and stuff. To do presentations, one of the other things that I wanted to suggest was that every PI committee should train their speakers how to speak, you know, in a proper manner, but also practice. You guys should get together and practice your presentations, right? You know, I know one of the things that I do when I go to schools in particular is I will say, my name's Dave, I'm a recovering drug addict, and we're here to tell you about a program called Narcotics Anonymous, because we know that addiction will enter into your life in one form or another at some point. So, and it may not be you, it may be your brother, your sister, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle, or whoever, but we want to give you some information about what program is available to you, right, as a resource. So when you practice things like this, and also reading, you know, realistically, you can almost do an entire PI presentation quoting the literature. You know, and I do it quite often because, you know, it's written for that purpose, right? Who can come to Narcotics Anonymous? Well, anybody, you know, doesn't matter, you know, age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, lack of religion. We're not interested in what or how much you use, who your connections were, what you've done in the past, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can use all of that stuff in your presentation. So anyways, I'm getting the tap here. I think we're done. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you both, Shashane and Dave. So at this point, we'll close with the serenity prayer.